This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Camps are almost here. Just today's NFL news tells you that. I mean, there's just a lot already going on. The two big quarterback stories Joe just went through, we will cover those and more here. Sal Capaccio with us on the West Herr Hotline. Sal, Warren Sharp just had a tweet about Green Bay because there's this report that Rodgers wants Randall Cobb back. And Warren tweeted that Randall Cobb is the only wide receiver that was drafted by Green Bay since 2010 that's still in the league but not on the Packers. Like, every other wide receiver they've drafted in 10 or 11 years, I mean, the guys from this year wouldn't be on other teams yet, I know, but if there are any, but like, they're just out of the league. And I count five, by the way, of the Bills. Like, so what does that mean? What's like an average number? I don't know. But I'm looking through the drafts and I can count five. I find five NFL receivers drafted by the Bills since 2010 that are still in the league, but on other teams.
Five receivers since 2010 drafted by the Bills, still in the league, but on other teams. Robert Woods, Sammy Watkins. Let's see. Who else would we have here? On the spot, I can't think. I'm sure that there are...
Zay Jones.
Yep.
Zay Jones. Good call. Yep.
Joe, you just mentioned one of these guys to me a minute ago off the air.
Marquise Goodwin.
He's in Chicago.
Yep. 5 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah. He's coming back. That's right. Yep.
And
Lewis is not.
Des Lewis, I don't believe. Ray McLeod, I believe, would be one. Too, that he's still in the league, or he was, right?
There
Pittsburgh.
You go. Yep, and yep.
All right.
I still think he still is on the Steelers. Yes.
Yep. All right. So we're all interested in the Rodgers situation, Sal. Like, what do you think here?
Well, I've said many times with you guys on the air. I mean, this guy just drama everywhere with him. There's always drama. He seems to need drama, want drama, seek out drama, and I've believed that that's been the case here all along, except. The only difference to me with this case is he put himself with so much drama that it was almost there was no way out of it. Well, guess what? Looks like he's not only getting out of it, but he's going to get a lot here. Like, if everything I'm reading from Adam Schefter over the last several minutes is, you know, what's going to happen here, essentially the end of Rodgers' career Packers' career this year, and then he can kind of basically walk away for nothing. It just seems pretty ridiculous and crazy to me that that could be what happens here. So, sure, I still hold to the fact that, you know, it's drama with this guy. But, hey, man, if this is his exit and what he gets out of it, that's an amazing pull by him.
I may have missed some of the details that you're referring to here, and I bet our audience would like it to be filled out too, Sal. So what is the very latest from Schefter? Is it possible here or probable, likely, that Rodgers plays this year in Green Bay and then they're not going to trade him? He'll just leave? They're going to let him go choose a new team?
The 2023 year in Aaron Rodgers' contract, the last one in his current deal would be voided with no tags allowed in the future. So apparently next year would still be on the table, but they will review his situation next year. So they're kind of like looking at maybe next year being that year where they'd have to do that. So sure, they could trade him next year. That could happen. Or they could want Aaron Rodgers to play one more year to try and win, and then they won't be able to do anything. They're going to be in a tough spot maybe when it comes to that.
How good are they this way then? So, like, yes, they were in the NFC Championship game and the year before. Are they number two in the conference behind Tampa if Rodgers plays? What are they?
I think if Rodgers plays, they are number two in the conference, yes. I think they're still good enough. I don't think there's – I might put them number three behind the Rams. Okay. I think the Bucs deserve to be one or maybe two at worst. But the Bucs and Rams, to me, seem to be the best two teams. So I would put them number three. I think the Rams are just overall a better team. They have more talent, especially now getting Stafford. I think he helps them. But either way, I think those would be the top three teams in whatever order someone might want to put them. I wouldn't put them number one. I'd probably put them number two or maybe number three.
The quote from Schefter, as quote tweeted by Tyler Dunn, now that I'm seeing that, the Packers' agreement to review the situation after the season implies that the team will trade Rodgers if he still feels the way he has about the Packers' culture and decision-making. No time to do the draft over and just draft all receivers. Maybe they can trade for Randall Cobb. That should make all the difference. All right.
Well, credit to them. They stood firm in this stare down with him, and I didn't expect that they would, but they have. And as weird as the arrangement may seem to a lot of us, I mean, Sal, does it not seem odd to have someone be the way Rodgers has been this offseason and then show back up and play, but it's only for one more year? The whole thing is just, it's really unprecedented and very odd.
Yes, but I guess to me, anything with this guy just doesn't seem to be out of the ordinary, right? It's just always weird stuff that's going on, or I don't know. It just kind of seems like that. There's always something percolating. So you're right. I mean, from a football standpoint, from a business and organization standpoint, yeah, that seems pretty odd. I understand that they, you know, want Aaron Rodgers on the team and that they feel that he's the MVP of the league. He's great and they can win with him. You have to ask yourself the question, though, given this situation now, or the fact that maybe they could just trade him now and get on with the future and get whatever haul, maybe that would be the better play for the organization going forward, as opposed to basically putting themselves in the same position next year.
Yeah.
Sal Capaccio with us on the West Her Hotline. All right, we'll get to the Bills as they start camp later this week. How about Watson, though, first? So that was pretty surprising to hear that Watson was planning to report in Houston. He has still not been charged with any crimes. He has, of course, been accused of many. He has not been put on the exempt list, right? So he was able to walk in, and he's more likely to get his money this way. The Texans reportedly now are ready to move him. What do you think of this?
Well, they are reportedly still asking, like, the moon, the sun, and the stars. I mean, so I don't know if they'd be able to get that, but it always appeared that they would have to do this at some point. I think the legal situation is still something that obviously every single team has to think about. Every single team has to monitor and know what's going on. So we don't know where that stands. But he was never going to want to lose out on that money. I thought that he could definitely sit out, but then report at some point. So he, you know, winds up getting credit, and you know, he could still get a chunk of the money that would be owed to him. But that he's there, he doesn't get fined. You know, he'll play this out as long as he has to be at least, I'm just here so I don't get fined in that situation. And I find it interesting now of who could step up. The one team that's been really talked about with them lately has been the Eagles. And they do have the draft capital to be able to do that. That's interesting. But I've also found it super interesting that Jeremy Fowler over the weekend on ESPN mentioned the Miami Dolphins again. And the fact that Xavier Howard would be a really good fit in Houston, and that could be some sort of package to get Deshaun Watson to Miami. Now, he also mentioned that, you know, we don't know what they feel about Tua. But think about all the things we heard about with the Miami Dolphins back several months ago being linked to Deshaun Watson. Here we are again with a renowned reporter on ESPN saying the Miami Dolphins could be a team that could go after Deshaun Watson because they have the draft capital and this player in Xavien Howard that would fit really with the Houston Texans. So I think that all of this is super intriguing.
I just cannot fathom the timeline on the legal stuff is like probably not till after this season is over. As far as the civil lawsuits go, there's a lot of reporting that's been consistent for a long time now that a settlement is likely not happening because Watson refuses to agree to non-disclosure. In other words, he wants to settle, maybe would like to settle, but wants to be able to tell his story and divulge what had happened. And I don't think that's agreeable to the other side. So a settlement doesn't seem in order. And I mean, isn't it obvious? How could a team take on a player with 22 outstanding civil litigations against him for sexual misconduct? I can't imagine a team making that trade. I mean, congratulations, Houston, for finally figuring out that you're probably going to have to trade this guy. But I just don't see how anybody could take that on right now. I know about innocent until proven guilty and all that, but it's just not. I just don't see how you could possibly do it.
And on top of that, at any point, he could be put on the commissioner's exempt list. Even if you're, kind of comfortable with, letting the proceedings play out or whatever and how all that's going to go. At any point, the NFL could step in and say, look, we're not comfortable with it. We just can't let him play. And then you're left, kind of holding the bag of, oh, wow, we just traded for this guy and gave up all of these assets. So, yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be something that every team has to think about. Now, on top of the legal part of it, every team is going to have their own investigators and investigations that are going to be talking to people. So there's a chance that a team could be super comfortable with whatever they find out. It doesn't mean they're right, but they could at least take that leap of faith, so to speak, in their own investigation and say, you know what, we're good where this is going to go. But again, you never know. There could be something else that happens, or the league could step in and wind up saying, hey, we don't want him playing. So I think that's a huge risk.
Well, Miami is interesting. Any team is. I mean, any team would be interesting to talk about for this idea. Miami, so I think that the assumption would be that whoever the team is, their quarterback would be traded to Houston. And so maybe Tua would be traded to Houston. What does that do for this year? Like, there is still very much a non-zero chance Watson misses time. Like, if they were to load up for that trade the way we thought they might before all the allegations came out, Sal, they were what, 10-6 last year? Like, they were close, and now they loaded up at receiver. You do Watson for the long term, and maybe the short term if you know he's going to play, but you do this for the long term because you would expect to get like 10 years out of him, and maybe teams would sacrifice a year basically for that outcome, but I don't know. It leaves Miami. It would leave Miami in a very strange position. Like, Fitz is gone. Like, what happens to this year if they do that and Watson does sit?
I agree. I don't know. And, Miami made that deal on draft day. They had the thing that went down with San Fran and Philly and all that kind of stuff. And I think they're basically in a position now where they've given themselves 1 year to evaluate Tua. I think they want that 1 year to evaluate Tua.
Me too.
Now, Deshaun Watson, to me, is a special talent. He really is. But I think the Dolphins are, they've decided we are going to take this year and evaluate this guy. We owe it, and we have to do that. And let's take a look at how they've run their organization, the coach that they have in place. He just screams to me that this is what their plan has been. So good for them. I think that's the right plan. That's what they should do. They might have swung and missed on Tua, but at least they're going to give it a year in the second year here to see what it is. And they're in a position now that if it doesn't work out, they can then draft the guy. And that means they don't have to rush into doing something like Watson. As good as he may be, they can either A, draft someone next year with the draft capital they've acquired in these other deals, or B, maybe Watson's still available at that time. And like Bulldog said, now we're at least to a point a year from now where we maybe have some more clarity on the legal stuff.
Yeah, I think everything that Mike just said, the last stuff he just asked you, Sal, is why this trade to me, I mean, whatever. I'm over here thinking Rodgers was definitely going to get traded, and now he's not. So maybe I'm just going to get everything wrong for a little while here. I don't know, but I just can't fathom a team making this trade with the potential for the guy to not even play for them this year. Like, there's the specter of trading for someone who's accused of what he's accused of. And then there's the reality of that leading to him perhaps not playing. I don't think either one is manageable from a PR standpoint. Like, you don't want to give up all that stuff now and then have him sit there all year and not play for you, trade away your quarterback, basically junk your season. I mean, come on. There's just no way a team could do that unless they know he's not going to be put on the exempt list. And I don't know, you know, maybe the teams have intel that we're not going to have from the league about the potential for that to happen. But, man, I can't believe something happens with this guy other than he just shows up at Texans camp and doesn't get fined.
Especially a team like the Dolphins that has playoff, if not division aspirations, right? I mean, this isn't a team that's in rebuilding mode and, you know, if we lose, we lose. We're okay with that. Now, I could see a team like the Eagles. I still agree with you that you still wouldn't do it given all the surrounding that we just talked about. But I think the Eagles would be more a team in that type of position that says, hey, look, the asking price is a lot lower now. If he clears all this legal situation and he's good to go, the asking price might get a lot higher. You know what? Let's do this. And we're just going to bank that, you know, we can have this guy play for us after this year because we might not be that good this year. Now, I don't know if that's what they think about their own season, but at least it's a team that, to me, the Dolphins are a team that they want to win. They think they can win. Yeah, and if they if they have to unload all the things it would take, including their quarterback, and then he sat, you basically just gave up on a year in which your fans and media all think that you can challenge for the playoffs.
It's all just so hard to stomach. Like, I understand, like, logistically and theoretically what you're talking about, but, like, worst-case scenario, what you're describing is the Eagles as a franchise trading for someone who, you know, worst-case scenario is a serial sexual predator because the price is low right now. Like, that's right. Unbelievable. Like, that a team could be I just can't imagine a team allowing itself to act that way publicly. It would blow my mind. I'm not denying that he's an intriguing talent, but, man, I just think you are asking for it to rain forever on you if you make this trade right now.
I always thought Carolina was – they were always my pick for Watson. Oh, I just remembered that game we played predicting the quarterback carousel is not complete, I guess, yet. I always liked Carolina for him, and I feel like Denver should be mentioned. I know it's like Miami and Philly, but – We know that Denver was moving on Rodgers, who's out now. Like, that's not possible. Like, they have their guys still that they would have upgraded from if they could have with Green Bay. Like, how's Watson different? Watson's different because of what we're talking about. Like, his situation makes him different. But without that, you'd much rather trade for Deshaun Watson than Aaron Rodgers, I think. Like, he's but 10 years younger, maybe more, whatever he is. Like, that's how I feel. So the Broncos are I think the Broncos deserve to be mentioned in that. And maybe so does Carolina. It's so cool. Like Carolina, Philly, Miami, I guess Denver. All those guys have – those teams have interesting quarterback possibilities. Least so Denver probably. But they're all sort of question marks. And the team has really just not made that firm commitment.
Yeah. You know, for all the teams that were kind of thrown out there, put in the hat, whatever. You know, we got some clarity on some. I think San Francisco's one of them, right? We know what they did. San Francisco went out and they, you know, drafted their quarterback of the future. We didn't get clarity on others. What does Denver think about their quarterback situation? We're not really sure. I think even though we just said, Mike, we think that the Dolphins want to give Tua this year, are we sure that they are super invested in him? Like, we're not really sure about that either. The Raiders, I think the Raiders are an interesting team still when it comes up for this sort of discussion. Like, do they really think that, you know, Carr is the guy and they want to stick with him, given the division they have and all the things that they have to go through? So, yeah, I think that that's really interesting how some of these teams we still don't have any more necessary clarity than we did when all this stuff started percolating.
Let's talk about the Bills here for a couple minutes, right? Probably a good idea. So it could be anyway a very interesting week, and maybe challenging in certain ways. What's the schedule and what are you expecting?
Players report tomorrow. Media will not be on hand. It's not something that media will have access to. So, you know, maybe the Bills social media will tweet some stuff out, guys arriving, things like that. We'll see. But Wednesday we will have practice at 10 a.m. I'm going to guess that Sean McDermott is going to speak, you know, before practice, as he typically does. Usually, actually, I think it's McDermott and Bean the first day of practice, but I would expect at least one of them, probably McDermott, on Wednesday, maybe both. And then, you know, we'll have some players afterwards, but it's going to be your typical training camp type of schedule. Practice will be at 10 a.m., be a couple hours, hour and a half, 2 hours. We'll hear it from some players afterwards. It'll look a lot different this year, which, you know, will be nice for people like me and the media who, you know, will be able to have in-person interviews instead of just doing Zooms with everybody all the time. And they're going to practice at 10 a.m. pretty much every day. You got that one that's going on Saturday for the fans. Otherwise, in case people don't know and you're finding this out, even though practice is here in Buffalo at Orchard Park, you know, fans aren't going to be allowed at practice other than those open practices. There'll be a couple of different Saturdays and a Wednesday.
Right, and those are ticketed events, right? They're free, but you got to get a ticket, right?
Yes, and you can get that from their website.
Right. Before you go, Sal, any use considering Chandler Jones asking to be traded from Arizona?
I love the player. I think that if you were going to design a scenario on Bills are one player away, what do they need? They can get over the hump. Like, they're that close to Kansas City. What do they need? Like, that's the guy. Like, that's a guy right there that you say, put him on the Bills. That could really be the difference between them beating the Kansas City Chiefs or not, or getting to the next round and going to the Super Bowl. But he is scheduled to make $15 million in a base salary. Mm-hmm. His cap hit in Arizona would be $20 million, but in Buffalo, a base salary carries a $15 million hit. The Bills, as of today, I looked, according to the NFLPA's public salary cap report, they only have $9 million in available salary cap space. Now, that's not pennies, but it's not enough to afford your $6 million under. They'd have to do some serious maneuvering. Now, granted, they could trade for him, have him restructure a new contract, and they could lower that cap hit, but are you really going to lower it enough to be able to still afford him without maybe offloading guys like a Jerry Hughes or a Cole Beasley or a Mitch Morse, like important players on your team who have high cap hits, but you'd have to do things like that.
Sal, thanks. We'll talk tomorrow.
Okay, guys.
There you go, Sal Capaccio on our West Her hotline, and his appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
A player of that level, there's going to be phone calls. You know, and I've said from day one that we have to look at every possible scenario and be willing to see, does this make sense for us and why? And ask those hard questions. So we continue to do that. We're having a lot of conversations. We're in a position where we feel that there's value and we feel it's going to help them. We'll make certain decisions. You know, it's the same for the way we look at all players. It's just different conversations, but that's how we're viewing it.
Kevin Adams, Sam Reinhart is now a Florida Panther. We were here on Friday when the Sabres traded Rasmus Ristolainen to Philadelphia. Jack Eichel still here. Here for your calls, and we'll have Paul Hamilton on in half an hour to go over the weekend. Ristolainen will wear number 70 for Philly. Like it? Like 70?
Eh.
Horrible.
Come on.
It's a goalie number.
I don't mind it for a goalie. I don't mind it for a goalie. Isn't Holtby 70?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Good pull.
But
like the only 70.
Yeah, I don't like the way it looks on a skater. No.
Who else wore 70? Like, Holtby's the only guy I've even thought of. So maybe that's why it's a goalie number.
Jim Marshall.
Jim Marshall.
Didn't he wear 70?
Who's 55 on the Flyers?
Jochen Hecht.
I'm assuming they have a 55. That's why Risto's.
Corpusalo, by the way, has been talked about for the Sabres a lot. We're 70 in Columbus.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't. You might be right, but I would not assume that myself, that the number's taken. I mean, would that guy not be a guy who's like ready to start over somewhere?
And fresh start.
I don't need this 55 anymore.
New number, new player? Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe he thinks of us when he thinks of 55. Mm. Doubt it, but hopefully not, actually. Yeah, so Paul will be on in a little while. I'm just looking at some Aaron Rodgers stuff again. He'll be 38 in December. So let's say, just for fun, let's say that like you've got this reported negotiation here and that the door will be open. If he's still upset at the end of the season, he'll be accommodated, right? He'll be able to, he'll be released or whatever that would actually be. What team, wouldn't this be something you could probably bet on? Like, which team would be the favorite to have him next year?
Denver. Still. I mean, I don't know. We got a year of football. They could really win with Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Locke, I suppose. And that could really change things. They could be terrible. I don't really foresee that either, but they could and have an opportunity to draft their own quarterback very high in next year's draft. So there's things that could change, but I still feel like Denver was so close, it seemed, doing it this past April that I would guess that they would be the betting favorite if such a thing exists. If there's a board out there for where Aaron Rodgers plays in 2022, I feel like Denver would be highly rated.
I'll go Washington. New name too. He's still younger than Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I kind of like Andrew Filippone's idea on Twitter. The Steelers have $73 million in cap room for 2023.
Is that a lot?
2022. Yeah. Second most in the league. And they, even though I don't like them for this year really at all, what's their over under 8.5?
Something. No, like it's that. Higher. It's higher.
Like, I'm always whenever I hear it, I'm like under all day.
You and everybody else.
Yeah. Like, but I still think they'll be good enough to where they're not picking high enough in the draft where it's like, oh, well, no, they're definitely taking a quarterback next year. Like, Houston, I wouldn't even think of for Rodgers because they're just going to be so bad that they're going to pick whoever's their number one overall quarterback. Pittsburgh is probably somewhere in the mid-first round. They've got cap space. Maybe he does, but Roethlisberger going another year after this. Like, they make a lot of sense.
Dwayne Haskins there, Joe?
No, I don't believe in Dwayne. No.
It is 8.5. I'm sorry. It is eight and a half. And the juice is on the under.
But, like, I think it being a year out brings a lot more teams into play. Like, you can make a case Minnesota could do it after this year. You can make a case Detroit does it after a year of Jared Goff.
Well,
Miami, of course. I mean, New Orleans. Like, they don't like what they get out of Hill and Winston. Like, I know you're asking who the favorite is, but I could see like 10 teams doing it.
Yep. At least. Maybe there are, you said mm-hmm. Vegas. I don't know if you did.
Vegas,
but,
yep.
Yeah, New Orleans.
Indianapolis.
Yep. It's half the league. We're almost up to half the league. Who wouldn't do it? Minnesota.
The Bills.
Oh. No, Minnesota might be a good name too.
No, Minnesota. Favre
went there.
Joe suggested that. Like, I think that's, yeah, I mean, you want to turn the screws on the Packers. I mean, that's what Favre seemed wanted to do. So there's no destination that accomplishes that more if that's your goal.
New England?
New England wouldn't?
No, they drafted somebody, but I don't know.
New England might if – like, if what happens with Bulldogs saying, like, if Mac Jones goes in early, like, even right away, and he's just not that good. Like, if he's bad enough to where they could get themselves to Rodgers, like, I wouldn't completely rule that out, but hard to see it.
Houston, you know. not for Rodgers, but Houston. So, Watson shows up to start camp unexpectedly. Like, did the team probably not think that was happening, or maybe they did. So, because he's not exempt. So he shows up. And at the same time, you have now, like, they would trade him. And, oh, yeah, they want five things, right? Just like Eichel. Right. Like, they want five things. So if that happens, like, if they get past the legal and Houston gets an offer for him, I said earlier, like, wouldn't there be a quarterback in it if it's Miami, for instance, or even Philadelphia? Like, they both have young quarterbacks who have yet to really, we don't know yet whether they can make it. Is that what Houston wants? And then
I don't think so.
No, right? They want to pick one next year.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what I would want them to do. I mean, I'm struggling talking about this as a football story. I'm sorry if that didn't come across when we were talking with Sal, because it just blows my mind that, like, all this reporting happening today, they want to trade him, and here's what they want, and the guy's got 22 sexual assault complaints litigating against him. It just blows my mind. Anyway, sorry, I'll take a deep breath. If I'm Houston, no, I don't want Tua, and I don't want, you know, whoever you want to send me, because, you know, come on, get real. What are you doing? You're going to be terrible this year, and, you know, start over. Like, you're going to have a chance to draft somebody next April. I don't want the guy that you don't think is good enough, so you're trading him as part of the Deshaun Watson trade. Like, I'd rather get a pick from you than get Tua if I'm Houston. I'd rather get a number one in 2023 than have Tua in the trade. You know, I mean, and I'm sort of a Tua fan, but, like, Houston does not need a young quarterback to see them through the season or something, or to build around. They'll get their own in the draft. I mean, I know that if Tua hit, then they'd be all set and they could use all the assets they accumulate in a supposed Watson trade you know, to draft other positions, and that's a great way to jumpstart your rebuild. But I don't know. I mean, wouldn't you feel better if you're them taking the consensus number one overall pick than a guy who already played and to some degree the team that has him currently isn't real sure he's that good? I don't know. I would rather just pick my own guy next April.
Yes, but what happens to him, right? So, like, maybe that helps make Miami a more viable option here because he's still the quarterback of the team this year. And if he's good, you flip him then? You go with Watson or whatever? Like, the timing is just tough. By the way, we talked about Miami before. I brought up, like, well, what? They just blow the season if they do that and Watson gets suspended? Jacoby Brissett is not the worst backup in the league. Like, he is the backup in Miami. So, they'd have, if in some scenario, right, they'd have somebody that started games and, you know, done okay. Mm-hmm.
I just don't see any way a team does this offseason.
I respect that. It's just like, you know, it's being cynical is not something anybody's proud of. It's just when it comes to this league.
I know.
Well, because, like, if he's already there and he didn't get placed on the commissioner's exempt list, like, he's at camp and he's going to be practicing and, like, he's around. And the way it reads is the trials for his sexual assault civil suits, once they happen, probably are coming about a year from now, is how it sounds. And right. If that's the case, well, then you're not doing it next offseason either. And is he allowed to play within all of this? And if the league is going to say yes, as grotesque as that might be, then I don't know that a team waits. Maybe a team just says, if we've got to deal with this situation and we want to do it anyway, then maybe they just say, we might as well do it now, because otherwise we're going to be waiting who knows how long.
Yeah.
He has still not been charged with a crime.
Yeah.
That not amazing?
Yeah, yes, it is amazing. No apology necessary for being cynical about the league, about sports. I mean, you know, we know what the score is. Like, you know, these teams and these leagues, franchises, individual franchises, talk about character and how much it matters. And, you know, the sports all launch these, you know, hockey is for everyone, you know, until it's not, or until character doesn't matter. I mean, what Montreal did in the draft on Friday night was disgusting. And their defense of it is disgusting. And, you know, they don't care. The guy's that good. Oh, well, you know, he said he didn't want to be drafted to try to help atone for his misjudgment. It's just gross. So, I mean, football is bigger. The machine is bigger. So they can even take on bigger misdeeds and do grosser things. So, you know, no confusion about it. It's just... me individually, I'm just struggling with it as a football story myself.
Yep, I respect that. I think, by the way, when I say it's amazing he's not been charged, of course it's not because I know anything. It's just because the allegations were so rampant, and there were so, you know, just like that was months ago. But, well, do they have him or not?
Right.
No, they don't want to settle for, you know, other reasons, but do they not have the guy? Like, okay, he's not on the list. I mean, how hard is it to, what do you have to do? I don't really want to ask that. Like, to get on that list, I mean...
Oh, it seems like a perfect situation.
Exactly.
For that list to exist. Like, you're not ready to suspend him, but if what's gone on is true, he should be. So we're going to put him here until we can make a decision.
So the league then,
but
also... the league
hasn't happened.
Perhaps, I hope this isn't wrong, perhaps the league is in the same position as the police, where they're like, we really don't have enough here to do it. You know, can you put someone on that list because of allegations or lawsuits? Maybe not. You know, maybe there need to be charges. I don't know. There's probably a known answer to that question. I don't know it. But it is weird that, I mean, not to mention the part about how he swore the team off in the first place. It is weird that he showed up. Like,
yep.
Who knows? We'll get back to the Sabres at the top of the hour as Paul Hamilton joins us. Lines are open at 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
I like to watch Elias Pettersson. I think he's a very, very good player all over the ice and can play many situations. And, of course, he had a very good one-timer and shot.
was Isaac Rosen, the second of two first-round picks made by the Sabres Friday night. Paul Hamilton on in around 10 minutes to discuss the weekend, including Saturday's Sam Reinhart trade to Florida. That, well, Friday night, like, I don't know, 10 to 20 hours of we don't know what the deal is here.
I kind of almost got my wish, although it's been for the Eichel trade, to find out, like, you know, checking my email when I wake up in the morning. And I woke up stupid early on Saturday. Like, I'm talking 4:30 a.m. Just like, okay, I'm up, whatever, I'm getting up, that's it. And the first thing I see is, like, this, and it's Devin Levi, and they don't know what else. I'm like, well, it's got to be some other stuff. There's just got to be other stuff. There just has to be. You know, there's a pick, a first-round pick that's top 10 protected, lottery protected. I joked around for a few weeks that I'd like to – the best way to find out about the Eichel trade would be waking up to it. That's what I'm talking about here, in case people don't know. Just fill it out.
I was looking up what time it was in Helsinki, Finland, because their top prospect is Finnish. I'm like, all right, maybe he's not awake yet.
You don't know that intuitively?
What time it is in Helsinki, Finland? Yeah. No, I was way off, too. I thought it was like...
That'd be like 8.
Yeah, and I was thinking like 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m.
What is
no,
it?
No, it was like, it was 8.
8?
Yeah. So you would know better than I would have.
I mean, I don't know the whole world. But, you know, Europe, you start like 6.
China, even right now. Like, no concept of like what time these things were going to be on.
What, the Olympics in
Tokyo?
Yeah, which,
and it's Tokyo, I meant. And it's happened. Like the Beijing Olympics, like in 2008. Like we've been through this before, but I still.
I liked that a lot of that swimming last night was live.
That was real late, right? Like 11?
No, it was like 9 at night here. That Ledecky was maybe closer to 10. Mm-hmm. And that was all live in the morning in Japan. I like that. You want it to be live, right? The gymnastics was all taped and sort of kind of a bummer. But what are you gonna, I'm not getting up in the middle of the night to watch it. I'm sorry, Bulldog. And who am I sorry? Why am I sorry? I'm not really sorry either. I didn't really mean to say that.
You shouldn't be.
I still can't believe that the first cookies didn't crush those chips in the vending machine. And the vending drama from earlier today on my Twitter, you can see numerous videos of failed attempts to dislodge a bag of Lay's potato chips from the stuck in the vending machine. How did the cookies that just crush the bag... How does the bag not give?
It's the big bag, too. It even says it on the packaging.
It's a big bag of
big
cookies.
Big 3-ounce bag.
Big 3-ounce bag. That's some nerve. Big 3-ounce bag.
Anything
I'm going to have to use
that. 3 ounces does not get to use big.
Get out of here. Just let the 3 ounces. If I had a dime, let the 3 ounces speak for themselves. But look at this poor Lay's bag. Boom, and it's got the Kit Kat on top of it. That landing is harsh. And how does it not... That was really the highlight of the whole episode, was the first cookies. First, just like, I'm watching it down a loop in here, just boom. And you've got Alan laughing. He's got a great laugh going on with it. Check that out. It was fun in here today. The ending stinks, but the journey was something. Paul Hamilton after sports on WGR.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.